and this is Fresh Air on WUHY FM in Philadelphia. My guest in the studio now is Marcello Hazan, who's the author of the classic Italian cookbook, The Art of Italian Cooking and The Art of Italian Eating. Let me tell you a little bit about Marcella. She lived in Italy until 1967. She received her doctorate, two doctorates, I believe, at the University of Ferrara, one in natural science and the other in biology. When she moved to New York in 1967, she began giving cooking lessons in her home. As I said, the book is about the art of Italian cooking and the art of Italian eating, and I think we'll we'll move right into this by talking about the art of eating Italian food. You mentioned in your book, and I wasn't aware of this, that the midday meal is the biggest meal in Italy.
Yes.
And that most of the places shut down.
Yes. Everything is closed. You know, the school closed, the children come home, the husband come home, and I think that is the moment that all the family gather around the table. Also in the evening they gather around the table, actually. The meal in Italy is very important part of the family. And meaning that the meal in Italy doesn't have a main course, but has a sequence of courses. So that is not a rush thing. So the people can have more chance to talk each other.
It's always been my feeling that if you eat a really big meal in the middle of the day, that it kind of slows you down after you've finished eating the big meal. I guess that doesn't happen to you.
Well, because, you see, the very difficult part is that the Italian meal is different what the American think about Italian meal. We have a very small portion. It's not oversauced. It's not over-seasoned. And so instead of eating, like I see many person going to the restaurant and eating a roll of bread with butter, and many times they wait for the first course to arrive, and they already have 2 tablespoons of butter. In Italy, you have a small portion of pasta with very little sauce, because in Italy we eat the pasta with the sauce, not the sauce with the pasta, I keep saying, you know, because it's oversauced, that. And I'm sure that only in your sauce, maybe you have a quarter of a tablespoon of butter there, your portion in your dish. And after you go to the meat or poultry or fish or what it is, and also that is very little season, that we never cover the natural ingredient with many sauce, you see. The sauce is only for pasta.
Well, you refer to pasta as what comes first, a small little portion. I mean, my encounters with pasta have been the main course. After salad and bread, you get this enormous plate of spaghetti or
that
something.
Is what I'm trying to help the people to understand about Italian food, that you cannot eat Italian food in the American way. You have to eat Italian food in the Italian way to really enjoy it. That is why I said it is an art of eating.
Well, you say in your book that, as you just said, that there's not one main course, but there's usually two principal dishes.
Two principal dishes, yes. One first course that can be a dish of pasta, or can be a rice, or can be a soup. Always small portion, I keep repeating. And after you go to the second course, meat, poultry, or fish, or game, or something, organ, anything, small portion also those. And one or two vegetables cooked in many different ways, because we cook the vegetable in many different ways. And that way we have a small portion of salad that doesn't have at all the Italian dressing that they have in America, because in Italy doesn't exist an Italian dressing.
What kind of dressing do you use?
Well, I can tell you one thing. We have a proverb for dressing a salad. This proverb said that to make a good salad, you need 4 persons. One very just for the salt, one very generous for the olive oil, and good olive oil, one very stingy for the vinegar, and one patient to toss it. That is your salad dressing. So you see, it's very simple.
Now, does the salad come in the sequence that you just gave it? After you've eaten everything else, then you eat your salad?
After we eat the salad, because you see, meaning that the salad is usually some green, fresh, and raw, and with this very simple dressing. For us, it meant to wash your mouth from the taste that you had before the food. And after, we have usually fruit. We don't have many cakes in Italy.
You don't have a large piece of cheesecake afterwards?
No.
or a Spumoni or a Tortoni, which is classic fare in Italian-American restaurants.
No, that is American, Italian-American restaurant. You pointed out very nicely, and you help him in that. Because, you see, we have cake. They're home cake that we do it at home, but they're very seldom done. They're for a special occasion, for Christmas, New Year, for a birthday, for a special dinner. Like, we never served at home appetizer. You know, Italian cooking, the best is home cooking. It's not a restaurant cooking. Also in Italy.
Okay, now I eat differently at home than I do when I eat out. I mean, when I eat out, I might have an appetizer and a dessert, which I certainly won't go through the effort to do if I'm eating home. And I'm wondering, in Italy, you mentioned this whole sequence of events. Does it happen the same way at home and in restaurants?
Yes, of course. Of course. What will be kept out at home usually is the appetizer. And you know why? Because many times the appetizer takes place of a second course of the lighter meal that Italy has, that is in the evening. Like if you served some kind of cold cut, you know, some prosciutto, some salami for appetizer, or sardine, or some artichokes Roman style that is a very well-known appetizer around Rome, sometimes it is a part of a second course in the light meal in the evening. So usually you don't have appetizer in Italy. And, you know, in Italian, appetizer is antipasto. And if I literally translate the word, you will understand. It's before the meal. Doesn't belong to the meal, really. It's something before the meal. Is ante, you know, everything is before.
Mm-hmm.
Pasto is a meal.
What about breakfast? I mean, you hear about French breakfast and English breakfast. I really have no conception of what an Italian breakfast would be.
Italian breakfast is very simple, almost doesn't exist. You know, the family, they grow up, usually they take a coffee, that the kind of coffee that America is called espresso. In Italian, the espresso in what you have in the between with this big coffee machine that they go by steam. And sometimes with some milk, maybe the youngest, they have some kind of toast with butter or just the dip the bread in the café and milk, coffee and milk, what the French call café au lait. And so the breakfast really doesn't exist. I think that is the reason why we have the biggest meal on lunch hour.
Mm-hmm. And the evening meal?
The evening meal, usually you have a soup because it's lighter. And after you have maybe some kind of frittata that is an Italian omelette or a fish that we think that is lighter to eat, usually and always cooked vegetables, because we cannot live without vegetables, and we cook it in so many different ways just because we wanted to have it in different way because we get tired of having the same dish. And fruit that is the fruit of the season. Sometimes you marinate this fruit, sometimes you do something with this fruit and put a little cream, whipped cream or something, if there's strawberry or wine or anything, but like repeated, no cake. So in this way, do you see, if you eat the Italian food in this way, you hit 3 points. One is that is a very balanced diet naturally, because you have a little carbohydrate with your rice or pasta at the beginning, a little protein with the meat, all the mineral and the vitamin that you want, because you have a lot of vegetable cooked and uncooked with the salad. You save your budget. Because if you have a small portion of a first course, usually the second course, that is the meat or the fish, is the most expensive one.
Right.
But you are already a little satisfied on your table, so you don't want to have a big steak or a large portion of fish, you know. And so you are satisfied with the small things that usually cost less if it is a small piece. And the vegetable, usually they're not very expensive. The fruit, also, they're not so rich.
You say in your book that the vegetable kind of defines what the rest of the meal is going to be, and I don't understand that.
Well, you cannot find very fresh asparagus for Christmas, no? So you are not going to make a meal with asparagus in Christmas time.
Oh, I see. So if the dish you have in mind depends on asparagus.
Yes, so now you know that the asparagus, now they are here. No, so you find that the meat, a recipe for the meat that go along with the asparagus, and the recipe of the meat, you have to have also the recipe of the first course that go along with the second course. Because you see, if you have a first course that is very spicy, very strong, and you go in some second course that is very subtle, very delicate, both dishes, they can be very good, but one doesn't go with the other one. So you ruin the meal. So I think it's some kind of... everything has to be in tune. I like to call a meal, Italian meal, some kind of orchestration, because, you know, everything is in tune. You have act that is one course, and after you have a kind of intermission, and after you have the second course. And I think it's a very pleasant way of eating.
I have to ask you a candid question. Do you ever eat New York City pizza?
No. I try it, and I stop it.
What do you think of it? You don't like it?
No. I don't. Sometime I found a pizza that has a very good dough, you know, the bread part, and the tomato, they're horrible. And sometime the tomato, they're not bad, but the dough is very bad. And I'm surprised. Anyway, pizza is something that in Italy we eat outside. Because you see, to make a very good pizza, really, you have to have an open oven, a wood fire oven, but open.
You mean you bake it outside?
No, you go to a place that is called pizzeria, like here, right, you know, to eat the pizza, because they have this kind of oven. With the floor in the corner is the fire made by wood.
Mm-hmm.
And the floor is made by tile, and the pizza is put on the tile that they're very hot. So the way of cooking pizza supposed to be that way. And it changed completely. And they cook very, very fast.
Do you ever eat in Italian-American restaurants?
Not much, no. If I'm not forced to.
Okay. I'd like to talk about different Italian cheeses and ways to use them. How can you recognize like a fresh piece of Parmesan cheese? If you're buying it, you know, if you're not buying craft-grated Parmesan cheese.
Well, that I would advise no one to buy it grated, because it's not grated 2 hours before. And when the Parmesan cheese grated, lose all this flavor. And I advise everyone that wanted to have the grated Parmesan cheese to buy it. Sawdust. It's cheaper, has the same taste.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't taste anything, Parmesan cheese grated from a long time. So I advise it to choose a good Parmesan cheese. First of all, the Parmigiano Reggiano is supposed to have on the crust on a little dot written Parmigiano Reggiano. Second, you taste a piece, and after you wait a few seconds, and if you are left with a cheesy, nice taste in your mouth, you had a good Parmesan cheese. If you had a cheesy but bitter taste, you hit a very bad Parmesan cheese. So if you really need it at that moment, buy a small piece. If not, you buy a big piece and you can keep it for a long time. Wrap it in aluminum foil on the bottom part of the refrigerator and cut it a piece that you need, and you grate it when you need it. And if it starts drying, that you see around the crust, it's getting whiter.
Mm-hmm.
So take it out from the refrigerator, take it out from the aluminum foil, put a cheesecloth, just humid, very, very little, you know, water in, just squeeze out all the water. Wrap it around the on top of that, the aluminum foil, and keep it a few hours. But after, when you took out both wrapping, let the surface dry, because you cannot wrap it on the aluminum foil, put it on the bottom of the refrigerator and not have mold if it's not the surface dry.
Mm-hmm.
But in this way, you assume the moisture and you save the piece. The Parmesan cheese belongs from the north part of Italy, because the north part of Italy has the bigger plain, so has a dairy farm. That is why we use butter. It's not because we are near France. It's because we have the cow. And with the cow... And is a milk cow. On the south, we don't have many plain. And the land is much rough. much more hard. And so we have the Romano cheese because it's a goat milk cheese.
Oh, that's the difference?
Yes, that is the difference.
No, if I go to my local store and buy Romano cheese, it's going to be made with goat's milk?
Well, it's supposed to be made. I don't know your local what
yeah,
will
I don't
do,
know
but but supposed to be goat milk. And that is why the taste is so different, because it's much more stronger.
But is it used? Do you think it should be or could be used the same way, Romano cheese as Parmesan cheese?
No.
What's the difference?
Well, it's a difference between one mellow, subtle taste to one very spicy and very strong taste. So their recipe is one recipe in Rome that is called Bucatini alla Matriciana. Matrice is a place near Rome, and that is why I give the name. And as between the other ingredients, you use a little, very little Romano cheese and Parmesan cheese, both. If you go more in the south, naturally, more the recipe they call for Romano because it's the local cheese. Mm-hmm. So they use it more the local cheese, and they're more spicy. Also because the south of Italy is hotter. So usually, every region, when is the climate is hotter, they have spicier food, so you can drink more, you know that.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, now, what about ricotta cheese? I've seen some people in recipes substitute cottage cheese or farmer's cheese for it.
Ricotta cheese?
Yeah.
Well, no, there are two different things. Ricotta cheese is much more creamy than what is cottage cheese. And also doesn't have any that little acid taste that cottage cheese has
mm-hmm.
or farmer cheese has. Farmer cheese also is no creamy at all.
Right.
So they're not substitution, but they're not what you mentioned, Parmigiano, Romano, and ricotta. They're things that in an Italian store you're supposed to find it. In my tour here, I found it all over. They have it. It's not that it's really a problem.
Mm-hmm. From the way you're talking about the different regions and how they use different cheeses and stuff, I guess that the Italian styles of cooking are really determined from where you came from in Italy, and that it's not Italy as a whole does not have a specific style of cooking, but each region within it does.
You are perfectly right, because Italian cooking, just Italian cooking, doesn't exist really, because you see, Italy is a very young nation. It's younger than the United States. It's a little over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Before, there were all little state republic and so on, that they were fighting each other like mad, and really they were not going to see what they were cooking the next one. So they built up their own cooking. That is one of the reasons. The other reason is the climate that is so different. You can go in Piemonte near Turin, and you have a very cold winter, freezing, like Copenhagen. You take a car and drive just 100 miles, and you reach the Italian Riviera with all the carnation blooming the same day, practically. And in Sicily, it's different. And and also the sea is different. The Tyrrhenian seen that is the one through Spain is deeper and saltier, and the coast is rocky. The Adriatic is much less deep and less salty, not only because it's less deep, because also received a bigger river that Italy has, so it's less salty. And the coast is sandy coast, so what you catch there is different than what you catch in the other part. And you can be both in the north of Italy, and you cannot have the same fish soup because you don't have the same fish.
Well, you're going to be taking classes of Americans to Italy for cooking lessons. Which part of Italy are you going to position yourself in?
In Bologna, that is recognized like the gastronomical capital of Italy. You know, also the Italian, when they think about Bologna, they think about food, not art, painting, something like that. And my object is to show to this America how the Italian live with the food, the relation that they have, the people and the food, how they decide to market, how they market, how they cook. Because really Italian food is so easy, is that to do that. It's so misunderstood in this country. that I would like to show them. It's very easy. We could not could make two meals, three courses each meal, if it was not very easy, don't you think so?
But when I think of really cooking an Italian meal, I mean, doing it all from scratch, that to me means maybe making your own pasta, which to me means spending a lot of time making the dough, rolling it out so that it's very thin, cutting it up, letting it dry, then first cooking it.
First of all, you mentioned pasta. Making your own pasta, roll it out by hand, this is not a recipe, this is a craft.
Uh-huh.
So when you learn to do something, you do it in 15 minutes, or 15 minutes is not a long time, because after you save the time in the cooking, because you're cooking only in a 3 or 4 or 5 seconds. When you put the pasta in, the moment that you get in the boil, the pasta is cooked. So the time that you saved on the cooking, you put it on doing the pasta. But that doesn't mean that you have to have your Italian meal with the pasta every time. And also, you can have pasta, what we call store-bought pasta, that is a factory-made pasta, like spaghetti. You never make spaghetti at home in Italy, no? You
mm-hmm.
buy it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a factory. It's a thing that the factory does, spaghetti, macaroni, rigatoni, penne, all those things that are in the box. Also, you can do a dish of spaghetti. The time that the water boils is 10 times the time that you can make one sauce that is very known in Rome, that is aglio olio. It means oil and garlic. You just chop the little garlic, put it in a hot olive oil, and don't make the garlic take color because it's too strong. Just lightly leave the white part, no? And put it on top of the pasta that is cooked, that is your famous Roman sauce. So you see, it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's you take any spinach, parboil it, you pass it one moment in a butter, sprinkle with Parmesan cheese, you have your vegetable done. It's take a scallopina. To make a scallopina marsala, you don't have to take 5 minutes. If I do two recipe, talking and discussing the recipe in TV, and they give me sometimes 15 minutes from the scratch, I think that it's not difficult.
Really? Well, okay. Well, I imagine your students will be doing a lot of cooking as well as a lot of eating once they go to Italy.
Oh, my students also in New York. My big reward is what after they take one course, they said that they don't go anymore in the Italian restaurant. Not only that, but this cooking that they learned became natural part of the family. What I mean is not for a special occasion or someday they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they do it.
Right. Okay, I've been speaking with Marcella Hazan, who's the author of the classic Italian cookbook, The Art of Italian Cooking and The Italian Art of Eating. Marcella, I want to thank you very much for coming by today.
Thank you.